Welcome to The Foundry, where leaders are forged daily. Each week, we investigate themes of leadership, entrepreneurship, and mindset with some of the greatest minds in real estate. And now, the data scientist of real estate, George Roberts.
Okay, welcome back, entrepreneurs. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Lindsay Duguay for our round number two. She's the founder of Clover Key Capital, and I gave her a really long introduction for the beginning part, but I'll tell you, there's all these things that I missed, like, you know, mother of three, grew up on a horse farm. Currently, you're growing peacocks in your garage. I mean, there's all these things
I told you,
that we can talk about. No, not a crazy person, just a very interesting person living a full life. And that's what we're all about over here at The Foundry. But we're also going to focus on real estate because, well, that's what we do. That's what we do best. So welcome back, Lindsay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to talk about in this second segment is make sure we talk about your coaching program, because I think that's really beautiful. I mean, you've been at this for, I think it's, you're almost on your fifth anniversary right now. Yeah. You have over 550 units. You've done all sizes of deals, everything from single family homes in Class D neighborhoods to 212 units, and definitely have a great story to tell. So I'm glad you're out there helping people. So tell us about, what is Mindshift to Millions all about?
Yeah. So the nightest for this is there are so many people that I've spoken to, they just don't know where to start. They hear bigger pockets. They hear about people investing in real estate, but it sounds like such a foreign concept. They think that they need $200,000 to start. They think that they need to be doing everything. They have to go find the deal, fund it, and that's it. They just, the lack of knowledge is just so paramount in most people. And I alluded to in the last episode, even all the physicians that I work with, I am an ER physician and director. And when I started getting into the real estate investment, there wasn't one single other person, physician that I knew of, that was doing any type of real estate investing. We just don't do it. It's more stocks. So as we started to become more successful and we watched our money grow, we watched the power of refinancing properties and getting that money out tax-free. You can roll it into the next deal, you know, that compounding snowball effect. People started noticing and they started asking more questions to me about it. And I just realized the lack of knowledge that people have about the basics in real estate investing. So as we got more successful and we know what we're doing now, we've been very successful about it. My partner and co-author, Lauren Zeminski, and I figured, okay, you know what? We have so much we can give back to the community and just population in general. Let's do a mentorship and coaching course. Some of the prior mentorships I've been in, masterminds, they have helped me tremendously. The power of getting around other networks and people who know what they're doing, you can't put a number on that, basically. So we wanted to start doing that ourselves and giving back.
That's huge. And the follow through, I mean, obviously that's the number one for any successful person. Mm-hmm. You wanted to become an author, you found a mentor, you did it. You became a physician. We're going to go into that in a minute. We're going to talk about climbing the mountain, and because I know you've got some great stories there too. But again, you got a mentor mm-hmm. in real estate yeah. and then you became a mentor yeah. and there's a sort of a pattern there. I mean, you don't have to do everything yourself, but you have to find a way to, you know, to keep on track. Like for me, mm-hmm. You've got your paper calendar, which I love. And I use my electronic calendar. And right after this, apart from a couple calls, which just like you, I love talking to investors, like the whole afternoon is just going to be, writing the book, and you just got to block it out. Anything important like that, got to block it out, set aside the world for a little while, and you just be amazed what you can accomplish. So just hats off to you for that.
Yeah. And developing those deep relationships too. Even my one original mentor, Marco Barbaro, and I mentioned Lauren Zeminski, we're all in the same mastermind. And now we also are writing another book together. One of our calls this morning was going over two chapters. It's called Attracting Capital. You hear about raising money and it sounds almost hard, like it's a job. And this whole book is about how to attract capital, the ethics of it. We talk about mindset in a whole chapter and the compounding effect too, but that's just another thing that when you start developing these deep relationships with your mentors and your network, it's amazing the ideas you can bounce off of each other and what else you can grow together. It's exciting.
Yeah, huge, huge. Okay. So look, we got to talk some more about real estate. And I know that you've got a lot of great tips for helping people navigate this difficult market. So, I mean, 2024, we're still in the first quarter, but man, we've seen rates shoot up like crazy. We still don't know where they're going. Everybody says they're going down. You know, that dot plot says they're going down. That dot plot, it's pretty hairy.
Yeah, the
Okay.
5-year treasury was going down and we were trying to lock in our rate. Now it started to tick back up again the last two
Oh
weeks.
yeah.
So yeah, we don't know where it's going.
So it's still a little bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I mean, tell us, what are you doing to protect your investors in this turbulent environment?
Yep. So we're writing, and I know a lot of people say that underwriting conservatively, but when we're doing the underwriting, and my husband, his background, he's a mechanical engineer. He does our real estate full time, but he's very much the numbers guy. So we call it stress testing. If you hope to refinance at a 7%, well, stress test it. What if it's 10%? What if it's for 11%? Are you still going to be able to refi? Are you still going to be cash flowing? So you really need to look at what if the insurance rates go up triple? I mean, a lot of our properties, they've gone up double in the last year. Many people who have bridge debt and stuff, they haven't calculated that. And they're in trouble. You know, syndication is almost like a bad word. You hear about all these properties getting foreclosed upon in Texas and other areas of the United States. So you really need to be very, very careful how you're underwriting and stress test it in multiple ways. And we are the fiduciaries of, you know, all the other investors that we bring in and a capital raise for. They are trusting me and the deals that we have underwritten. And we are the fiduciaries of their money. So I take that very, very seriously. I mean, these are my friends, my family, my mom, my brother, my colleagues,
Well,
you
you
know.
actually have to go to work
Very
with these
important.
people.
Yeah, I have to see them and work with them every day. Exactly. So I'm not just some capital raiser in California that never has to see these people. Like I work with them. My mom calls me on the phone, you know. We need to make sure we're doing the best things for our investor. And that's another thing too. Any deal I raise for my husband and I put our own money into it too. I think it's ethically right. So I mean, every time I hand over a check for, you know, $50,000 in investment, I think how many thousands of patients did I have to see to get that money? So it's very real. We take it very, very, very seriously, as anybody should when they're doing a syndication.
Love it. And then okay, so we talk about some of the good things you're doing, but you see, I mean, you and I both see a lot of bad things going on out there. So what do you think is some of the worst real estate advice that you hear going around these days?
There's a lot of bad real estate advice. People that paint the picture that, oh, this deal, there's no way it can go wrong. Nobody knows that. You, nobody has a crystal ball. Any deal is going to have unforeseen things. Every single deal we've done, there's been an unexpected expense that comes up. I think the main thing you need to look at, the operators, or even if you're doing a JV and you're still active in it, or you know, you're looking at a deal with just one other partner or something, you need to look at each other and what are their ethics, what are their morals. If something bad happens, are they just going to give up and say, oh, I don't want to deal with it, let it go to foreclosure, or are they going to be resourceful and try to figure out a way to make it work and get through that? So I think that is so important in partnerships in general. Really know who you're working with and don't take people at face value. You should always be doing your own due diligence on the property and the partners themselves.
Yeah, that's huge. And it reminds me of a great sailing adage. If you've never hit the dock, you're not a sailor.
Yeah, it's funny. One of the actually the first JV deal we did, there's five partners on it, and we didn't know this until a year after we closed. One of the other partners said, oh, every time he does a deal, he does background checks on everybody else in the group. And he has a lot of VAs. He actually has a whole VA business. And he had two separate VAs do background checks on my husband and I and the other partners in the deal. I was like, well, obviously we passed because we closed together. But I mean, that's taking it to a whole other level, but it just shows to do your due diligence on people that you're working with.
Oh, it's huge, and you never know. And I am an angel investor, and I'll tell you, people who actually lead angel rounds will tell you that it's not uncommon to find out that, for example, you look at the cap table and it's all out of order, and you've got somebody, some partner who they're still on the cap table, but they're not doing any work, or they might have, hate to say, conviction or something. I
No,
mean, a lot
it
of people get
happens.
really deep into these things before they go and do that. So, yeah, one of the things I've learned from angel investors is definitely go out and do that background check because, yeah, you don't want to be with somebody who has, like, I mean, it's easy to find like SEC violations, all that sort of thing. Yeah.
Do your due diligence on people and on properties. Look at the market that you're buying in the property for and everything. Do your own market research.
All right, good. Well, in the first segment, I did ask you about your number one time management tips, but do you have any anything else you can tell us, like productivity hacks? I mean, how do you keep it going? You got a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah, the main thing is definitely looking at my calendar, being very, very good about time blocking. That is so important. And being able to shift back and forth. I mean, I'm an ER physician, so I'm very good about multitasking, you know, seeing 15 patients on the board. My mind is pretty good about switching back and forth versus my husband. He's very good at one task at a time, you know, so everybody's different in that regard. For me, it definitely comes back to my calendar and time blocking.
All right, cool. Okay, I get it. Sometimes there's just that one big thing. Hugest things. It is really, really, truly changed my life. Yeah, you pick those top three tasks, you put a couple, 3 hours on work on the business, not in the business,
yes,
and
yeah,
you find
yeah.
yourself in a completely different place before you know it.
Yeah. I think it's important to look at yourself too. When are you most productive? Like, I'm not a morning person. I'm really not. I work. I have a lot of my best ideas in the evening time versus my business partner, Lauren. She is great. She's up at 5 a.m. That's just not me. So I think looking at yourself and making the best decisions when you're most productive is something huge.
I love it. Okay. Yeah, that's huge. And adaptability is something that's really, I think, a big thing for me. I totally see that in you. But let's talk about how the market is maybe changing and how you're adapting to that. Again, we're recording this towards the end of the first quarter of 2024. What are some things you're seeing changing and how are you taking advantage of that?
Yeah, so we're definitely starting to see a shift now. The last 2 years, everybody was fighting over properties, even for us personally and locally in Pennsylvania. There was a lot of New York money coming in, so we just could not compete with that cash, no contingency, even on off-market deal that started to have bidding wars. It's crazy. And even for the larger syndication deals, you know, we're getting kind of the average 6 to 8% cash on cash returns. We're seeing the market start to change. The cap rates are starting to expand. So we're noticing that the property values are coming down in a good way for us to start getting better deals. We're getting higher cash on cash cash flow in general for the properties, which is good. I mean, for us as investors, this is exciting for us. We're starting to see better opportunities start to come now. And from what everything and our partners that we're working with, we're even entering a new market now in Texas. I'm not going to say where, but one of the guys is actually moving there to really get entrenched in the market. So we're seeing things start to shift and change in a good way.
Huge. And definitely got to grow along with that. I see all
you
these things.
You always have to adapt. You have to be able to ping pong and take advantage when you see an opportunity.
Right. The people who were too aggressive when prices were high. Mm-hmm. And also, I think the people that were maybe a little too passive and sat on the side, I think both of them are losing out. It's a pretty tough road to hoe to be neither too aggressive nor not aggressive enough. But
the Warren Buffett quote, you know, be greedy when others are scared and vice versa.
Yeah, I love the greedy versus fearful quote is a huge mm-hmm. one. Yeah, Peter Lynch, when blood's running in the streets.
Yeah, everybody had FOMO the last 2 years that they're going to miss out, and they were buying at the top of the market, and we were, you know, holding back a little bit. So we're excited now.
Huge. Okay. So I also promised we would get to know Lindsay a little better too, because you are very fascinating. So I understand your husband is the house chef. You raise peacocks, and I did mention you grew up on a house farm. Okay. So tell us. So after all that, now tell us something that's going to shock us about Lindsay. What do we still not know?
So I don't think I've said this on any podcast before. So one of my ultimate long-term goals is to have like a petting zoo. I am a crazy animal person at heart. And I literally want to like adopt like poor animals that, you know, maybe they need rehab or something like this. Like you mentioned, I grew up on a horse farm. I had no actual friends around me other than the animals because I lived in the middle of nowhere. My driveway was like half a mile long. I can't tell you how many times I remember my mom getting stuck in the snow and we had to like crawl back to our house in the winter. Like that's how rural we were. But I miss that. Like I live on a quarter acre right now in a house. One of the other physicians at work, he's a farmer, an actual farmer with a farm, not a crazy person like me who hatches eggs in their garage. So my long-term goal, I want to have some type of farm petting zoo. And
that's beautiful. I got to say that some of my finest memories were taking my sons to the petting zoo. You know, you get those, or the safari, that's another good one. You get those cups of food, and then you got a little kid, and they put it out the window to a giraffe or some giant animal. And you know, they got these giant tongues. Like you have no idea how big a giraffe's tongue is unless you've actually been up close. And they just grab the whole thing out of the kid's hand. It's like, oh, that was $3, kid. Oh,
my dream.
Be more careful next time. I'm just kidding. But we
my dream animal, if you ask any of my kids or like my closest friends, they say, what does Lindsay want on her petting zoo? It's a zebra. I will have a zebra someday. Mark my words.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Well, the first one I described, that is definitely not a petting zoo. You don't pet the safari animals, but I also took them to a couple of true petting zoos. Yeah. They had buffaloes out there too in Ohio. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe I'll have buffalo someday too, but to be continued.
Oh my goodness. The great plains of Pennsylvania. All right. Okay. So here we got to get deep again. Talk about mindset. So you're a woman who's enjoyed a great deal of success, but it never comes easily. So what would you say to somebody who is at the base of the mountain, someone who wants to make the climb, but who doesn't know the terrain yet? So what can you tell this person from your journey? What's going to help them on that climb?
Yeah. I mean, anything is possible. And that sounds so cliche, but I was the first person to go to college in my family. Like it was the quote that I heard in med school, doctors make doctors. My parents weren't doctors. My parents didn't go to college. They didn't invest. Like we grew up shopping at Payless, like coupons, you know, everything like that. So this wasn't something I was born into. This is truly like self-made. My husband coming from France, his parents had restaurants over there. They weren't investors. He worked very, very hard growing up in the kitchen and the restaurants. And that's one of the reasons he decided he wanted to become a mechanical engineer, because he wanted to do something better. So again, we weren't born into this. This was a lot of grit, determination, self-education, and then getting around the right people. So I think that's so key. Just because you weren't born into something and you think it's impossible, it's not. It is truly your mindset. I'm a big believer in vision boards. Every single year at the end of the year, I make a vision board, and it is amazing how many things I have been able to check off and accomplish that when I would make the vision board in December, I'd be like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this the next year. And then it happens just because I start to direct my energy on that and think, okay, how do I get there? And you just take these small action steps week over week to make your dreams come true. Again, it sounds like cliche, but it is so, so true. And that's why my partner, Lauren, and I are making the mentorship and mastermind group Mind Shift to Millions, because so much of it is just mental and telling yourself it's possible, and then getting around the right people to help guide you and kind of, if you're getting off path, to steer you back in the right direction. You really need guidance, like we mentioned, for any goal that you have.
You know, I love that. And it's cool, because the more successful a person is, the more likely they are to have different mentors. I mean, I've got multiple mentors. And right now I've got my dance instructors. I've got my language instructors, and hopefully I can go back to music. That'll be another type of instructor. Yeah. Writing the book. I've got multiple mentors there. People wonder why do I do this podcast? It's selfish reasons. I learn from these people.
You're
I'm learning from you
right.
today. The more successful person is, the more likely they are to collect mentors. So that is really cool. Okay. But I love what you're talking about with the vision board, because totally dovetails into what I really wanted to ask you next, because I think I can see a little of both in you. SMART goals or stretch goals? Which do you believe in?
Both. I believe in both. I think you can accomplish more than what you actually believe. So I think on my vision boards, I have both. I have goals that I know I can accomplish. Those are kind of the anchors. And then I have big vision goals where, maybe I won't accomplish it that year, but maybe it'll be the next year and I can roll that onto the next vision board. So it's really a combination of both. I like the anchor goals that I know I can accomplish, and then the stretch goals where I may need to put in more effort, but they're there and it's leading me towards something bigger.
Good. Yeah. And I love it. I could see that coming too, because I have both in my life. I mean, some things are just, you know, hey, I got to work on these KPI, you know, for 1 hour, 2 hours, you know, call that a SMART goal.
Yep.
You can completely define it, but Some of the better goals I've met in my life have been like, you know, that washboard stomach. I mean, I could have set a smart goal like, well, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I don't know what that looks like. I have no idea, but I said, I'm going to have a flat stomach. So my next stretch goal. So for those of you who are wondering, next stretch goal is going to be the washboard stomach.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So we're going to see it. So yeah, I'm just going to just tear my shirt off. See, here's, here it is. Like, oh, sorry. I got three layers on today. You can't see it, but, I have a little more work to go on that. And then maybe I'll just tear my shirt off at the end of a foundry interview.
Yeah, but that's so important too. Like I have the Peloton, I do my bike workouts, I do my floor workouts, and my kids are part of that now too. Like if I miss a workout, my son will be like, oh, you didn't do your bike today. And I made a reel like a week or two ago, my son and my daughter, the 5-year-old and 2-year-old, came over with their little 1 and 2 pound weights and they're doing the workout with me. They see what we're doing, right? And I'm trying to teach them just the motivation to get where you want to in life too. So I love to do that with my kids and keep them.
Yeah, involved. Love it. When my youngest boy, I did math and languages with him, didn't know it was going to stick. He eventually started to do both on his own and he got a little polyglot running around. So it's pretty amazing. You never know what you expose a kid to. And then, wow. Yeah, definitely a ripple effect. All right. Okay. So I think, one last, and then I think we kind of have to head into the lightning round here, but what have you gotten better at saying no to in the last year or so?
I have gotten better about saying no to a lot of things. I would say yes to everybody. A great example, I do artwork too. I'm an artist. I love to paint. I love to draw. I do graphite, oil, acrylic, all kinds of stuff. And people like my artwork. So I have had a lot of colleagues, a lot of friends say, hey, can you paint this portrait of me and my friend or whatever? Can you do this? And I love painting. So I would say yes, but I would spend 2 full days doing this painting for like $100 for people. And again, I like to paint, but it's kind of that risk versus reward. I'm spending 2 whole days doing this painting for $100. It wasn't really there. So I've said no to that a lot more. And it's just, Say even different volunteer events too. People ask, can you chair this? Can you do this? It's, could I? Yes. But then that's taking away from, you know, maybe writing my book in 8 weeks or doing something else. So I've been more conservative with my time and starting to say no to people more, which it's that goes against my initial personality. So that's been hard for me to start saying no.
Right. I love it. I love it. That is beautiful. I love art too. And I just can't wait to get back to gilding. I'd love to do oil painting. Awesome. But yeah, gilding for me is just something amazing. I love the Rococo period. Awesome. So if I could do, if I had the time, I would just love to make an entire room of my house completely Rococo. So for those that don't know what I'm talking about, you're an artist, I'm sure you do, but like have it's painted just brilliant white and then have all kinds of gold filigrees all over the place. It's just amazing what you can do.
I should be in my other room. I have actually a Clover Key Capital painting and I have gilded gold on the one that I've done. So hey, we have more in common than I thought. I love that too.
Oh, I love it. Look at this. We're finding all these connecting on different levels.
You know, art, language, all the good stuff.
All right. Okay. Okay. So here's our warm up for the lightning round. Okay. I always like to ask favorite junk food.
Favorite junk food, donuts. My daughter and I love donuts from Dunkin' Donuts.
Wow. Oh yeah. I used to be crazy for like Boston cream and crullers. And I just, yeah, even back in the day, I really couldn't eat that and not keep the weight off. That was
a
really
bad
habit.
For the doctor for her well visit. That was the thing. She said, if I don't cry during my shots, can we get donuts? And she got her donut.
That's awesome. Okay, great. So I want to know also, let's make sure that this is really productive for you. Like what sort of entrepreneur or investor in our audience should reach out to you? Who are you really looking to reach today?
Anybody who wants to get started or they've reached a plateau in their investment portfolio, or maybe they feel like they're running out of time. I could talk for hours. Like when I get started, I will talk and talk and talk about real estate. So anybody that wants to network in general, or just wants more guidance, please reach out to me. I love to.
I love it. So yeah, it's still time to get it on the ground floor with a mind shift to millions.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep.
All right. So with that, time to head into the lightning round. You ready, Lindsay?
I'm ready, I think.
All All right. Okay. If you could be known for only one thing, what would it be?
Determination.
What's the greatest lesson in leadership you've learned as an entrepreneur?
Admit when you're wrong.
What personal characteristic has been most pivotal to your success?
I'd say grit. Your grit or stupidity, back to that. I don't know.
I love it. Too much modesty, though. Grit. Grit it is. All right. Okay. So here, random question. Yeah. Tell me when to stop cutting.
Now.
All right. I love it. Usually people go on for like a minute or two. I'm like, come
right
on.
Right to the point.
Right to the point. If you could work as an assistant to anyone for a year, whom would you choose?
Mm-hmm. Warren Buffett.
Oh, shoot. It's totally stole my answer. All right. Next one. Okay, what's a tip or trick that investors can implement in their business today?
Read the book, Who Not How, and then pick one aspect of your life and do it.
Love it, love it. Okay, my next question was going to be name a book that's helped to forge you as a leader entrepreneur. Okay, I guess it's going to be Who Not How. Never mind. All right, but perhaps you can set us out with a quote to help forge our listeners as leaders and entrepreneurs.
It's actually a Bible quote: to whom much has been given, much is expected. And I feel like I've been given, you know, the ability to work hard and have the determination in life. And I have been successful, and I like to give back to people now and really try to help them on their journey. I want to be transformational to other people who will be transformational. Meaning if I can influence and affect somebody else that has a good captive audience, that's just going to be a generational and ripple effect.
All right. Well, I think you just influenced this captive audience right here. So let's make sure that we can get that two-way communication going. So email, website, carrier pigeon, smoke signals. What is the best way for our listeners to reach out to Lindsay Duguay?
So you can go to cloverkeycapital.com, sign up for the investor list. I send out weekly, monthly newsletters. You can go to Facebook. I'm the only Lindsay Duguay. Direct message me. I'm very responsive to everybody who reaches out to me. Instagram at Doc Duguay. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I love it. Thank you so much for taking your time to share your knowledge and experience with our audience today, Lindsay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.